and actually wrote it about 25 years ago. We just finished producing it just recently, but I'm not going to do, I'm not going to have the music for you. I just want you to hear the words, because it goes along with the sermon that I have. The song is called "If It Was Easy, Anyone Could Do It." And the sermon title would be "It Isn't Easy," as I think we find out in our own lives, the lives of those around us. In the midst of my confusion, in the midst of my despair, I asked the Lord a question, how's it look from over there? Sometimes I'm weak and weary, my faith is on the line. Let this be my confession, would you please ease my mind? And he said, if it was easy, anyone could do it. If it was easy, why would I ask you? This is what you were made for, the moment you were trained for. You wouldn't have it any other way. That's not the answer I was seeking, not the answer I'd propose. Couldn't you make the way more gentle? Take the thorns from the rose. If I had to make the call, it's not the hard way I would choose. So I defer to you the answer. It's your wisdom I will use. If it was easy, anyone could do it. If it was easy, why would I ask you? This is what you were made for, the moment you were trained for. You wouldn't be satisfied any other way. Now in the end, you'll know the reasons, all the ins and outs. For now you'll have to trust me, release to me your doubts. Do you recall when my son said, please take away this cup? If I had all your hopes, would have gone away. If it was easy, anyone could do it. If it was easy, son, why would I ask you? This is what you were made for, the moment you were trained for. You wouldn't be satisfied any other way. If it was easy, anyone could do it. If it was easy, why would I ask you? This is what you were made for, the moment you were trained for. You wouldn't be satisfied any other way. It isn't easy. Tell you the story, and we've started with children's stories lately. That's a good thing. So I'm going to start out by telling you a little bit of story about a child. Nine years old, 10 years old maybe. That was me. I was at school. And a friend of mine was holding on to the football. He was keeping it tight at hands because he didn't want to let me play with it. And I was not happy with that situation. And so I kicked the football out of his hands. All I wanted to do was get the football out, okay? I just wanted us to be playing with it. But in the midst of all that, he got a split lip. Being on the playground, third grader, teacher looked at me and says, you go to the principal's office right now. Of course, I started making excuses. You know, it's like, well, he was holding the football. And then it was, well, it wasn't really my fault because I didn't kick his lip. I just kicked the football. Just because the football hurt his lip. What you coming after me for? And then because they said I needed to go to the principal's office, I don't think I'd ever been to the principal's office before. I decided that I just wasn't going to go. Ran to the back of the playground. There's a drainage ditch there, a culvert. So I was willing to go in that culvert with the snakes, with the bugs, with the spiders, instead of going to see the principal. I don't think, you know, that wasn't a really good idea, was it? It wasn't, because I think, you know, I did end up going to see the principal. And I think he probably wouldn't have spanked me, except that I had run to the back of the yard and hid in a culvert. So I got my spanking. I will tell you this, I didn't tell my parents for a long time afterwards. They didn't know about it till after the statute of limitations had expired. Maybe junior high, maybe high school before I told them. But there's a similar situation that we see. I think this gives you know, the idea of what we're talking about. And if you will, turn to Genesis, the third chapter. Troy, if you can start putting that up there. Genesis, the third chapter. Actually, I should just keep that there. That's fine. I'll explain the story a little bit more first before it gets to there. Or you could start at the beginning of the, yeah, just verse one. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Asked a question there. Continue. And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We may. Go ahead. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, I don't even know if they understood what die meant at that point, probably. And I don't know if they understood that it was a suspended sentence. It would take a while. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. First lie in Scripture. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes will be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's kind of a half-truth. But it came with a lot of other stuff, didn't it? Continue. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Let's stop here just for a moment. So the first thing they did when sin came upon them, when they had done what they were told not to do, what came up? Fear. Fear and guilt. All of a sudden, they knew that something had changed, and they were guilty about it. We all tend to do that, don't we? Sometimes we do something that our parents have told us not to do. We do something that we know that we shouldn't do. And for a minute, it seems right, and then comes the guilt. Then comes the fear. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Continue on. Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." The Lord said, "Well, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave us to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life." Hold on for a minute. The blame game was going on, huh? First it was fear. It was guilt. And then it was the blame game. Adam, "Well, you know, it's this woman that you made for me. This woman caused me to eat it." And Adam, and then Eve says, "Well, it's that serpent that you made. He tricked me." Serpent probably said to himself, because I don't think snakes know how to speak, he's, "The devil made me do it." And the devil was sitting there, and "Yeah, I did it." What was his point? To sow doubt about God. To raise his throne above the Most High. We find that in Scripture. So in the end of all of that finger pointing, who were they pointing their fingers at? They were all, in the end, pointing their fingers at God. "God, it was you that made me this way." "It's you that caused me to be this way." Continue with the, let's see. Oops. The Lord God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This was a prophecy pointing forward to the time of Christ. But then he goes on, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception, in birth, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. Go ahead. And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. These were consequences. Very quickly, very concisely, God gave consequences. No, it's not going to be this easy life that you had before. It's not going to be just walking around the garden and picking fruit, picking a nut or two, taking what you need, and it'll be easy. Not anymore. You're going to scratch in the ground. You're going to have weeds come up. Any of you that have a garden, you know it's much easier to grow weeds than vegetables, right? You got to work at it hard to keep them out of there. And I know such a thing because I spent many years at one end of a hoe handle. Got to be really good at it. But it was going to be difficult. You were going to have to sweat. Things were not going to be easy. But these difficulties, these problems, these struggles, again, it was different for each one, but these things are part of the plan. In the end, these are part of the plan of redemption. The problems came because you sinned. These are consequences of it, and they are help to get back to where you need to be. See, there are, at the time of Christ, there were many thoughts as to what it actually meant if persons had problems. And mostly what it amounted to is, if you're poor, if you're blind, if you're sick, it's because you sinned or somebody else sinned. And yet God, Jesus, showed us that that's not always true. Many times there are problems. And he said, in his own words, when they asked about a man that was born blind, was it this man's parents that sinned, or was it the man? Who sinned? Who caused the fact that he was born blind? What did Jesus say? He said, so that the glory of God might be seen. That he was made for that moment. He was made for that moment to show what Jesus could do. Again, other parts of the things that go on in our lives are simply consequences of what we do. The way we eat, the other substances that we might take into our body, the things that we do that we think are fun at the moment, and they turn out not to be that way. The end is not good. There is that part amongst what goes on, the troubles that we have in our life. And what people don't realize is that most of the problems that we have can have to do with that, have to do with our own actions. Flip Wilson talked about a few years ago about, well, the devil made me do it. right? And no, usually it's, I maybe do it. I thought it might be fun. I thought it would be good. And it wasn't. But then there's a third category of things. Things, problems that we have, big problems, that are there to help us, to break down our pride. As if we think that we're all that good, you know. I'm strong, I'm smart, I'm good looking, I'm everything else, I'm healthy. Pride comes from that. And the main reason, or the main way that God can help us, is if we recognize our need. And so those that are so self-sufficient, so many things going good, without those problems, they would remain lost in many cases. It's the troubles that bring us closer to God. We need to recognize our need and recognize our weaknesses, because these are the things that help us, in many cases, to surrender to God. So that the next time things happen, we have a choice of going this way, maybe with our decadent friends, shall we say, with our bad friends, we can go this way, or we can go this way with God. And it gives us the strength to be able to do this, to go with God. And it's our defenses, our blaming, pointing fingers and stuff, that often belie the fact that we still have guilt inside. And by God's help, we can learn and we can grow and get past that. I asked Terrence this morning if he was okay if I told a little story about him. Because we had a funeral. Patsy Duran, church member, passed away last week. And we had the funeral this week. And there was one person that came up to talk about Patsy that wasn't part of the family. And that was Terrence. And I remember this well from when it started, actually. Patsy had confronted Terrence about something he was doing. I don't think at the first he liked that. He didn't like that criticism. He didn't like that concern that she had. And from what he said, she wrote him a letter, though, too. Letter of admonition. And I got to see last Monday the change in Terrence. From when he first had that thing happen to him, when Patsy talked to him, wrote to him, where he bowed up against it and was frustrated about what she had said. And between that time and Monday, where he recognized that it was part of the plan to get him to change his directions, to look more at God, to be a little less stubborn, a little more understanding of things, both of himself and of the other people around him. And that's something that we all have to do, right? That little boy that I told you about that kicked the football out of the other kid's hands. You know, I learned after a while. I think that was the only time that I ever ran from trouble and tried to hide. I found out after that, it's the best thing is you, if somebody's mad at you, you go talk to them right now. Don't wait till next week or next year or something. If you got something that needs dealt with, deal with it now. The Lord's Prayer, says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's our key to salvation right there. If we can give to others, if we can forgive others, quit pointing fingers, quit blaming, and take whatever part of the blame is our own. If we can do that, then we can receive the remission of our sins. We can receive that salvation from on high. God's already forgiven you, but many people don't let themselves be forgiven. They don't let themselves be forgiven because they're holding on to things about somebody else. But if we let it go, we can see that new life. We can feel that new heart growing within us. We can feel that eternal life starting to take shape. Yes, there will still be difficulties. There's still a lot of things that are going to be difficult. And probably if you're not feeling the difficulties, you might ought to wonder about what's going on. Because if you're not having difficulties, the devil's not worried about you. And those difficulties can break down our pride, which is the chief of sins that people have. As we talk about the sins that people have, and usually we want to talk about, you know, the sins that those bad people do. Those people out there on the streets. But we don't want to think about the sins that even those who are following Christ do. The pride that we can have. The way that we can be looking down upon people that, well, they're not as good as me. They're still having problems with this thing that I got over with years ago. But the other thing is that these difficulties do make us stronger. Cussing and discussing can strengthen our mind if we let it. Difficulties can strengthen our bodies, even our country. When it went through World War II and everybody had to pull together and had to work their hardest and had to sacrifice, it was probably one of the greatest times of our country in all time. Difficulty is essential. You've never seen a great athlete that did not get there by exercise and striving to be the best he could. You don't see somebody who's a successful business person or a singer. They got there without working hard. It's those difficulties that help us to be stronger. All of these things require dedication. And dedication is what is required as a Christian too. And those difficulties that come upon us as a Christian, if they are because we are a Christian, they will only strengthen us. They won't tear us down. They will only help us. The greatest gift we can ask for is the wisdom, the discernment to know the difference. What is it that, of the problems that I have that's I caused? Which of them are actually just trying to help me out, strengthen me? And which of them are just part of living in a world that is a sinful world that has a lot of problems. And if we can have grace for those around us, then we can have peace. We can have peace because we know how much God loves us. And we accept his forgiveness. When we give the same thing freely to others. As he said to his disciples when they went out their first time, freely you have received, freely give. You get 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. These were the words of Paul, who, aside from Jesus Christ, did the most probably to spread the gospel, spread the message of Christ throughout the world. He wasn't perfect in the things that he did. He had his problems, but he stayed with it. He fought that fight his whole life. And that's what we do. We have to go through the difficulties. If it was easy, anyone could do it. But it's not easy. But the good thing is that we have beside us and within us the Spirit of God. We have him walking, helping, guiding. We have other church members exhorting us, giving us words of admonition to do the right thing. We have people who have gone through the same struggles that we have that can help us along that way if we just have humility to do that. Humility on both sides. The willingness to let somebody know that you had that problem. And the willingness, if you do right now, to accept that word. And through it all, Christ will be glorified. We will see his kingdom increase, and we will be part of that ourselves to the end. To the end. Thank you. We are redeemed. Some of us accept that and live in it. Some don't. But that redemption is there for everybody. The price has been paid for everybody. Christ paid that price already. On the cross. It's up to us to grasp hold of it. It's up to us to drag the others in with him too, to point the way to him. And through our lives, through our humility at times, and through our strength, we can bring others to him, and we can continue to hold on to that ourselves in our lives. Despite all of the difficulties, whatever they happen to be. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, for your blessings, for your protection, for your guidance. And we look forward to what you have for us today, tomorrow, and each day. There's a lot of beauty and a lot of goodness that you still have for us. And there is work to be done. There are people to be met, people to be led, and there's a life to be lived for each one of us. Help us along that way. Help us to grasp hold of it and grasp hold of you. in the name of Jesus, who came that we might have that possibility. We thank you in his name. Amen.